And church, I'm going to be honest with you. This is where people a lot of times leave Jesus. They don't have a problem following a baby Jesus. They don't have a problem understanding that Jesus was prophesied. He came from heaven. He was born to this world. But this is where we leave him. We leave him in a manger. We leave him with his parents. We leave him as a baby. And really it's become a brunt of a, really a joke in America that we leave Jesus as a baby. A few years ago, y'all remember that stupid movie, Talladega Nights, where they pray to baby Jesus. They don't pray to Jesus, they pray to baby Jesus. And a lot of people thought that was funny and hilarious, and I'm one that didn't. You know, we don't have a problem believing in a baby Jesus and celebrating the birth of baby Jesus, but we don't want to have anything to do or very little to do with the bloody Jesus, the one who resurrected from the dead, the one who changed our life, changed our direction, and changed who we are. We don't want to have a lot to do with him. And listen, before I go any further, I want you to understand something right here this morning. Every person who is under the sound of my voice this morning, every single person, not one of you is excluded. Listen to me. Your actions show whether Jesus is alive in your life or he is dead. Now, I want you to understand something else as a pastor. As a pastor, I grow just as many other pastors. I get kind of frustrated because I pray to God, Lord Jesus, please open my eyes and show me what you want me to do, not only individually, but through the life of Shevis Oaks Baptist Church. Because we all know without a vision, a people perish. That's exactly right. So Lord, tell me what you want me to do. And listen, it's my job to project that vision that God has put on my heart. It's not my job to make you do what God told me to do. It's not. My job is to project, Bill. It's not to make people do what God's told me to do. Once I project, my job's done. Now, I want to try to foster it. I want to try to develop it the best I can. But it's not my job to make people do what they ought to be doing. Right? It blows my mind to see churches, not only our church, but churches as a whole, try to start ministries. And these people who come in here and they sing that song, I believe, but they don't believe nothing because they don't support nothing. They don't do nothing. And listen to me, your actions show that you are either, Jesus is either alive or dead in your life. I want to propose something to you. If what you're doing is the same thing you've always been doing, Jesus is dead to you. Dead. He's in the grave. He was never resurrected because nothing ever changed in your life. Listen to me. The closer I get to God, the more I want to do. You can't stop me from doing something for Jesus. My kids get embarrassed sometimes because when we check out in line, I'll look at the person and I'll say, you know, Jesus loves you. Dad, why don't you come up with something different? Why don't you say something new? I can't. Listen, Jesus is alive. I've got to tell somebody, Ricky. You know, Jerry's here this morning. Jerry and his family are here this morning. Jerry is the co-commander of an Awana club in the state of Kentucky. It is probably, if the figures were looked at, it is probably one of the largest, if not the largest, Awana club in South Central Kentucky. Y'all average about 220 to 225 every Wednesday night, if not more. They've topped out at close to 300 at one time. Do you know, listen, that's a successful ministry. I imagine if we, yo, is that great? Amen, that's wonderful. That's terrific. You know what his number one problem is? Finding faithful leaders. You know what the problem is? Jesus is dead to so many people. That's an alive ministry. I'd want to get involved with that. You know why? People are coming. I want to be involved with that because I want to see people's lives change. I want to see souls change for the eternity of Christ. Brother Kyle, this is a long introduction. Yeah, it is. Church, is Jesus alive to you this morning? Or is he dead? Have you left him in that cradle for so long, never letting him grow up, never letting him grow in your heart, never letting him grow in your mind? This morning, I want to try my very best to prove to you that Jesus is alive by pointing out a few things. Jesus is alive. Wow. Jesus is alive. There we go. That's a little better. I want to tell you why I believe he's alive. Number one, Scripture says that he's alive. Listen, if you call yourself a Christian, that should be the only thing you need to do to prove to you that Jesus is alive. Scripture says that he's alive, and we're going to read it this morning. Secondly, listen, there are eyewitnesses that saw Jesus alive. We're going to read that here in a few minutes as well. Over 500 people at one time saw Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, alive, walking, breathing. His disciples, you know what he did with his disciples shortly after he resurrected from the grave? He ate with them. Listen, that is a person who is not dead, but alive. Jesus is alive. Listen, dead men do not change lives. When they're dead, they're gone. Well, I remember what he did, but he's not changing anybody. You know, he's not changing my life. Listen, Jesus changed my life. He's been dead a long time before I came around. Jesus changed me from the top of my bald head to the tips of my toes. Jesus, listen, if he was dead, he couldn't change lives. His Spirit draws people to himself. Just his Spirit draws people to himself. Does that sound like a dead person? No, sir. Sounds like a live person. I want us to consider some issues today because he is alive. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12. And y'all, please excuse me as I clear my throat 100 times during this message. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12 says, "Now, if," proposition here, we got the question, if Christ is preached as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is without foundation, and so is your faith. In addition, we are found to be false witnesses about God, because we have testified about God that he raised up Christ, whom did not raise up, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Therefore, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have also perished. If we have placed our hope in Christ for this life only, we should be pitied more than anyone. I love this next word because it turns everything around. What's that next word, church? But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. From since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For just as in Adam all die, so also in Christ will all be made alive. Church, that's good news. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We say it so often with our mouths, but our actions show something totally, terribly different. Lord, please be with us this morning. As we're heading towards the new year, God, what greater way could we open our eyes to a new year, Lord, than realizing, accepting, and acting, and walking, and talking, and that you're alive. You're alive, Jesus. What better way to start the new year? In Jesus' name I do pray, and all God's children said, amen. As we read through that scripture, I hope you saw quite a few things. First thing I want you to see is this. There are those who believe then and still believe today that Christ is dead. He's dead. And listen, the closer we get to the return of Christ, the easier. We're not going to have to look very far. We don't have to look very far now. We don't have to look real hard or listen real close to hear and to see people who believe that Jesus is dead. Now, me personally, I can't believe that people won't believe, but they won't. I can't believe that people see the same things that I see and still won't believe in Jesus, but they won't. It makes no sense that the things that happen in our world today happen and there's no God, that Jesus is dead. But church, these same people see everything that we see, yet they still won't believe. Look at verse 6. Look at verse 6. Verse 6 says this, and I pointed to it a few minutes ago. Then he, being Jesus, appeared to over 500 brothers at one time, most of whom remain to the present, that present day when this was written, but some have fallen asleep. Listen, over 500 people saw Jesus walk and talk and breathe after he died and was resurrected from the grave. But they still wouldn't believe. Listen, I believe those 500 plus people went out and told every person they knew that Jesus came out of the grave. I saw him. I touched him. Listen, I smelled his breath. I watched him eat. He touched me. I saw his hands. The gospel spread, but Gary, there were still those who wouldn't believe. Over 500 people. The reason we see a stagnant church today is because Christians are not telling others that Jesus is alive. And the reason they're not telling others that Jesus is alive, to be quite honest, Jesus is dead in their life. I can't but help tell people that Jesus is alive. I know Jesus is alive because he changed my life. But let's stop for a second and consider the consequences if Jesus was not alive. If he wasn't alive, if he surely was dead, what are the consequences? Well, we just read them. Look at verse 14. Verse 14 says this, "And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is without foundation." It's without foundation. Do you know what this means? Paul is saying that if Jesus is dead, all preaching is worthless. All preaching is worthless. Well, we know some of it is. But Scripture says that if Jesus is dead, Gary, all preaching is worthless. Do you understand the depths of this? All of our founding fathers, All of the men of God throughout Scripture, if Jesus is dead, Mark, everything they did, everywhere they walked, talked, listen, everything is worthless. Let's bring it to modern times. If Jesus is still dead, Billy Graham's messages were worthless. Worthless. Billy Sunday's worthless. Charles Spurgeon, worthless. Bailey Smith, Jerry Vines, Bobby Welch, Johnny Hunt, Junior Hill, Rick Corum, Herb Revis, listen, and many, 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 many more preachers, all their messages were worthless. All their books, all their sermons, all their seminars, all their pastors' conferences. If Jesus is dead, every single bit of it is worthless. It means their passion for the lost was worthless. It means their love for the local pastor and his church was for nothing. It means that they, as well as myself, have wasted our lives preaching a dead gospel to a dead church that believes in a dead Savior. If Jesus is dead. Church, do you realize this building is for nothing? Where we sit is for nothing? If Jesus is dead, I praise God this morning because Jesus is alive. Preaching is not in vain. You may be sitting there with a smug look on your face, about to fall asleep this morning, telling yourself, "I wish that old windbag of a preacher would hurry up and be done so I can get back to doing what I always do. This is not going to change me," but according to the Word of God, yes, it is. Just because you're sitting here and listening to preaching, Scripture says it's changing your life. When you go to do something stupid, you're going to recall sitting in this sermon and hearing this old windbag of a preacher preaching, and you're going to say, I probably shouldn't do that. At least the Holy Spirit's going to prod you not to do that. It's not going to mean you're not going to do it. Preaching changes lives if you'll allow preaching to change your lives. Listen, because of preaching of God's word, not my word, please understand, I'm not pointing back at me this morning. I'm nothing. Because of the preaching of God's word, lives are changed, families are saved from destruction, souls are snatched from the brink of hell because of men of God who preach the word of God with the power of God. Listen, preaching has set men free. Nothing, listen to me, nothing can make that claim other than the preaching of God's word. Nothing can say that. Nothing. We search for freedom in our lives. I want to feel free. I want to know that I know what I'm supposed to be doing. Nothing will ever give you that freedom apart from the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God. You can try everything there is to try, but nothing will set you free like the preaching of God's Word. Nothing. That's powerful. But I've got to move on. Church, if Christ is not alive, not only is the preaching in vain, but Scripture tells us so is our faith. Let's read verse 14 in its full now. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is without foundation, and so is your faith. Your faith. You can scratch through that and you can write your name there. If Jesus is dead, so is your personal faith. Well, what in the world is faith? What's he talking about here? Turn with me to the book of Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 22. Galatians 3:22 says this. But the Scripture has imprisoned everything under sin's power, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Did y'all catch that? Might be given to those who believe. Before this faith came, we are confined under the law, imprisoned under the coming faith was revealed. The law then was our guardian until Christ, so that we could be justified by faith. But since that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. That's a beautiful picture of faith, isn't it? What's he talking about there? If you do this, listen, do you know when your faith is alive? When Christ is not dead. When Christ is alive, your faith is alive. Can I tell y'all something this morning? I'm tired of seeing posts on Facebook, oh me, if I could only get out of this hole that I'm in. If I could, this is going to be my year. I'm going to get above it. Listen, it's not in your power to get above it. You can't do it. Mark, listen, on your own, you can't do anything. You're in trouble. If you're leaning on you and what, listen, I'm going to do this. Gary, you're in trouble, buddy. You ain't going to make it. But listen, if you understand the power of God, if Jesus is alive in you, that is when Philippians 4:13 comes into play. I can do what? And through Christ? All things. Does that limit anything, Steve? No. When Jesus is alive in you, listen, you can do all things. When you can't, I can understand. Listen, you can't do anything but complain. I don't know why. I don't know why I just can't get myself up off the floor. I just don't know. I don't know why I can't get motivated to serve God. I don't know why I can't be faithful to a ministry. I don't know why when I sign up for something, I can't be faithful and come every day. I don't know why I can't. I can tell you. Listen, ask me. I can tell you. It's because Jesus is dead to you. If Jesus was alive, you'd be the first in line. You'd ask for a key to the church because you want to open up and lock up. You'd be the first here and the last one to leave. You couldn't wait till people got here so you could do what God's told you to do. Why? Because Jesus is alive in you. Listen, when something's alive in you, it creates life, not death. Blows my mind. And Tony can attest to this better than I can to y'all. A pastor in a Southern Baptist church usually lasts how long, Tony? Three to, I mean, if he minds his manners, he can stay 5 years. But usually after that, he's gone. Get rid of him. Kick him out. He ain't doing nothing. I would like to go back to those churches and do an internal audit. I'd like to be just an arbitrator. Just a person who just sits silently and just, I want to look at the record. Pastor, tell me, what did you try to do here? What did you feel led to do here? Well, I felt, you know, God told me to do this, 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 and this. Well, church, listen, the pastor said, well, why didn't y'all follow? We didn't like it. We didn't think it was right. We don't like change. He wanted to change the color of the carpet in the church. He wanted to put one of them big screens up there. Hey, listen. Do you not get it here? Where Jesus alive, listen to me. Where Jesus is alive, change is, it's going to happen. Listen, when Jesus is alive, it can't help but change. Something's going to happen when Jesus is alive. Follow his life throughout the four Gospels. Everywhere Jesus was, the people were excited. They were looking for a miracle. They were expecting a miracle, and they received a miracle. Why? Because Jesus was alive. He was alive. I've got to move on. Church, our faith keeps us when all hell seems to be trying to consume us. Our faith comforts us when we have a loss. Our faith sustains us when we feel we're all alone. Our faith in Christ keeps us when all others cast us away. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14 tells us that if Christ is dead, so is my faith. That's why we see so many people. I mean, with their thumb in their mouth. Can't even sing Kumbaya, Ricky. I mean, just, oh, why is this happening to me? Why? Because your faith is dead. And your faith is dead because Jesus is dead to you. Listen, we got to wake up to this, church. We've got to move forward. Church, Christ is alive because my faith is alive and well. My faith is alive because Christ is alive. Amen? We've got to go. Verse 15 tells us that if Christ is dead, so is something else. Look at verse 15. In addition, we are found to be false witnesses about God because we have testified about God that He raised up from the dead whom He did not raise up, if in fact the dead are not raised. Do y'all know what that means this morning? Verse 15 tells us, if Christ is dead, so is our testimony. If Christ is dead, so is our testimony. Now, listen, y'all wake up here because I want you to get this. This might startle some people in here this morning. Now, I can't make it any easier than what we've done. Now, Deborah made over 200 of these right here and set them in the back. It says, you're invited to be my guest at Chevis Oaks Baptist Church. We love our church, and so it's got our website on it. It's got directions on the back. I honestly do not know how to make it any easier than that. You give that to people. You don't even have to talk to them, Mark. You can just point at them and say, and just hand them a card. When you're doing that, you're being a witness. You're testifying of who's alive in your life. Church, listen to me. If verse 15 tells us what it really is telling us, there's some things that, I mean, I've always wondered about that are explained here. You see, my testimony is daily growing. It's alive and ever-changing. And if Jesus is alive in you, so is yours. I have confidence in my testimony of what Jesus did in my life because, Mark, He did it. I didn't do it. I couldn't change myself from the what I was to what I am now. Well, you must be perfect. You think, no, I'm not. No, but I'm a whole lot better than what I used to be. My life, He changed my life.
You see, I have a testimony that I'm not afraid to share, not because of who I am, but because who is alive in me.
I'm not afraid to tell people who is alive in me. I'm not afraid. Because Jesus is alive in me, I can share my testimony. I think y'all know what I'm getting ready to do here. Let me say it again. Because Jesus is alive in me, I can share my testimony. Most people who call themselves Christians do not share their testimonies according to this scripture because Jesus is not alive in them. Did y'all see that? When Jesus was dead to me, I had no testimony. But since Jesus became my living, breathing Savior, I have a testimony. And so do you, I hope. Jesus has to be alive for you to have a testimony. Brother Kyle, I can't be a witness. I can't. I can't be a witness. If Jesus is alive to you, you can. Hey, if Jesus is alive to you, you can't help but be a witness. You can't. Even when you don't think you're being a witness, you're being a witness. Hey, listen, when Jesus is alive to you, the Holy Spirit's going to say, don't go there. Come back from, don't you do that. Don't you touch that. Close your eyes. Close your ears. When Jesus is alive to you, that's going to happen. When Jesus is dead, none of that's going to matter. You can do what you want, when you want, however you want, with whoever you want. Hey, listen, and it's not going to bother you. Why would it bother you? Because Jesus is dead to you. Only time you bring him out is on Sunday morning. You dust him off with your Bible, put on some clean underwear and a tie, and come to church. Listen. This is the top secret FBI information. Jesus is alive Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Hey, Wednesday night, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And again, Sunday. Jesus is alive. He's well. I've got to move. If Christ is dead, church, we have no hope for an eternity. Look at verse 19. Verse 19 says, if we have placed our hope in Christ for this life only, we should be pitied more than anyone. Let's read that again. If we have placed our hope in Christ for this life only, we should be pitied more than anyone. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For just as in Adam all die, so also in Christ we all will be made alive. Listen, for some of you Christians, y'all, that ought to get you running. Because what that means, there's a lot of meaning in this, but one of the greatest meanings is you didn't do anything to deserve it, and he still saved you. You're going to live today, tomorrow, and all eternity, and you didn't do nothing to deserve it. Christ is alive in you. Church, I cannot get to heaven on my own. None of us can. You know, I was talking to somebody this past weekend. I can't remember who it was. We were talking. There's part of my family who wants to be cremated. Part of my family wants to be buried. I'm going to be honest with you, Mark. The thoughts of either one of them, I don't care much for either one of them. You know, burning my body to a crisp and rolling the bones and throwing them in an urn and, you know, throwing them in the body. I don't like to get burnt. Being put 6 foot under the ground and dirt piled on top, I don't like that either. If I got my choice, y'all put me in a vault with a doorbell. But it doesn't work that way. We don't get a vault
with a doorbell, a casket with a doorbell. Yeah, listen, if Christ is dead, you have no hope in eternity. None. That scripture that I quote so often, I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the wonders that God has prepared for those who love him. That doesn't apply to you. Does not apply to you. Hey, if Christ is dead, you have no hope in an eternity. Life will soon be over, and you have nothing to look forward to but death, darkness, and dirt. Can I tell you something? Sometimes, when I can't sleep at night, I'll sit and I'll pray. I'll say, Lord, let me see just a glimpse of heaven. Let me just see a peek. And Mark, I feel like I almost see visions of heaven. I can almost see it, Bill. There's times where I'm laying there and I can almost smell the sweetness of heaven. Why? Jesus is alive. He's alive. He's alive in me. I can see heaven sometimes in my mind's eye. There is something in my soul that longs to be in a place that I've never, ever, ever been before. Listen, church, if Jesus is dead to you, if Jesus is dead right now, you might as well live it up while you're here on earth. Do as many drugs as you can. Drink as much alcohol as you can put on your hands. Have as many illicit affairs as you can possibly stand. Do it all. Experience it all. Because if Jesus is dead, you soon will be too. Live it up. Do you know why people who call themselves Christians can do all those things? Because Jesus isn't alive to them. Something happened in my life. Now, again, I want to say I'm not perfect. But I was bad. I was bad. Amy, I was bad, wasn't I? Amy actually had to get on me one time, I mean, when we first started dating, because I had a dirty mouth. She was dating a dirty mouth sinner. And she had to say, she said, can you please quit saying that word? She said, I just can't stand it. Just dirty mouth. But something, Tina, something happened. On January the 19th of 1989, something happened. You see, I had faith in Christ. And Jesus transformed my life. And I went from being a drunk, a liar, a thief. I mean, I'd steal you. I used to love to steal. Love to steal. People like to eat popcorn, Mr. White. I love to steal. Now, I wouldn't steal. I'd just go in the store just to see what I could steal. I'd walk out with pocketfuls. And I'm not saying this to glorify. Listen, I was bad. But when Jesus changed me, he changed me. You know why? Because I went from among the dead to among the living. I went from an empty hole to a vessel filled with the honor and the glory of God. Not because anything I did, Keith, but because of what Jesus did in me. It's beautiful. I can't go back to that. I wouldn't go back to that. I don't want to be a part of that anymore. Why? Because Christ is alive. He's alive in me. Church, if Jesus is alive in your life today, there is evidence to that effect. Listen to me. If Jesus is alive to you today, there is evidence to that effect. Do you hear me? There's evidence. You can no longer live a life the way you want to live. Your life is submitted to the will and the Spirit of God every day. One question. Is Jesus today alive or dead in your life? I can't answer that for you. Only you can. Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we love you, and we thank you for your word.
Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move right now. Help us, God, to let you become alive in us today. Only way that's going to happen is for us to admit that you're dead, to allow you to come back into our lives and start something fresh and new. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would knock on hearts' doors right now. Show us our spiritual condition. Let us peel back just for a second the veil and let us see ourselves the way you see us, Lord. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come?